This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His help and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and the consequences of our actions. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide. And whoever is misguided cannot be guided except with Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with every good in this world and every good in the hereafter. And we ask Allah to send peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, know, O Muslims, that our Lord has commanded us to be conscious of Him in the Quran when He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O Muslims, why are we here outside on these grounds instead of the mosque? What is our reason for praying our Salatul Jumu'ah, our obligatory Friday prayers, which are typically done in the mosque? Why are we gathered here today? We are gathered here today to send a message. We are gathered here today to announce to the world that our voices cannot and will not be silenced. We are gathered here today to be clear in our conscience in front of our Creator and to do our civic duty to our fellow citizens of this country, to bring attention to a plight and an injustice that has gone on for way too long. We are gathered here today to protest against so many things, all of which stem from the injustices happening towards and against our Palestinian brothers and sisters. We are gathered here today to protest the fact that our country is directly involved in yet another conflict. And we say to the people around us, is it not enough that we've gone to war over and over and over again? Are we not tired of bombing and sending weapons of mass destruction around the world? We are gathered here today to protest our tax dollars being spent in yet another genocidal conflict. Enough is enough. We are gathered here today to bring attention to the immorality of how a Palestinian people has been displaced, uprooted from their lands. 3 generations of exile. The Palestinians are the only exiles in their own country. You can't even tell the Palestinians to go back to where they came from because they have been deprived the right to go back to where they came from. We are gathered here today to protest against how our own country is attempting to silence our voice. The brutality of sending the state troopers against students across this country. Over 1,000 students have been arrested. Hundreds of campuses are now erupting in protests. And just like deja vu in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, when the students protested for different causes and the state troopers were called in, and in every single one of those causes, the students were on the right side of history and the state troopers and the army was on the wrong side of history. So too, history is going to show, inevitably, indubitably, we have no doubt, history is going to show that we were on the right side of history. And those that are trying to silence our voices are on the wrong side of history. We are gathered here today to protest the banning of speech and the attempts to curtail the First Amendment. Unbelievable. Yesterday, Congress passed an act in which they attempted to criminalize criticism of a foreign country and to equate it with hate speech. We are gathered here to protest as Americans against the infringement of our First Amendment and our constitutional right. O Muslims, our Lord has commanded us to stand for truth and justice. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina bilqisti shuhada'a lillah. O you who believe, stand up for justice and be witnesses to Allah. We are standing for justice. Our Lord has told us, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of all nations that have been brought for mankind. Why? What makes us the best? It's not because of where we're from. It's not because of our background. It is because of a particular characteristic that the Quran mentions. What is that characteristic? You preach the truth and you forbid evil. You call people to good and you forbid them from evil. The reason why our Lord has said that we are the best nation is because we are meant to preach morality to the broader world. We are meant to preach justice and truth, regardless of how politically incorrect it is, regardless of how those that want to silence us attempt to silence us. So, O Muslim, if you want to live up to this verse, and you want to truly be a nation that our Lord has blessed, then stand up and do your duty. Preach the truth and forbid against evil. And of the most obvious truths of our times is the truth of the injustices being perpetuated by the last remaining apartheid regime against innocent civilians. Over 2 million people are trapped in Gaza. Gaza is the largest open-air prison in the world. This is not what I am saying. This is not what just the United Nations has said. This is not just what Nelson Mandela has said. This is what our own previous president, Jimmy Carter, has said. Jimmy Carter himself, visiting those places, called it the largest open-air prisons on earth. We are talking about injustices being perpetrated not only in front of our eyes, genocide taking place, the likes of which we have not seen in our entire lifetimes. 25,000 women and children have been murdered. Over 40,000 innocent civilians have been killed. We're not just talking about seeing this on live YouTube and television and vivid imagery. We're talking about the far more pernicious and evil reality of our country, the United States of America, which is supposed to be on the right side of history, which is supposed to be a beacon of morality, which is supposed to be preaching democracy and freedom. We are pointing out that in this issue and in this scenario, our country is not only tacitly ignoring, it is aiding and abetting the wrong side. It is our country that has given almost $100 billion to the apartheid regime of Israel. It is our country that has financed weapons, made weapons of mass destruction, sold them to that country, given them loans to purchase the very weapons that they're purchasing from us. We are complicit at every single level. It is our country that has utilized its veto in the United Nations more for the state of Israel than for its own interests. In the history of the United Nations, America has used the veto almost 50 times to silence not just your voices, the voices of the world, when the world wanted to condemn Israel for a whole multitude of issues. Over 50 times the UN wanted to condemn, wanted to sanction, and it is our country that stood up for reasons we still don't understand, and they vetoed a global resolution to condemn or to provide humanitarian aid or to call for a ceasefire. It is high time that we, not just the Muslims of this land, but people of conscience, people of integrity, people who care about their country, and that's all of us. It is high time that we change the realities of what our country is doing over there. Why are we financing a war that is not benefiting us? Why are we involved in a global genocide, the likes of which we haven't seen in an entire lifetime? Why are our own politicians so fanatically wanting to aid an oppressor against the oppressed? It's high time these questions are asked and we demand accountability from our own representatives. O Muslims, one of the tactics that is being used to silence us, and there are many, is of course police brutality and sending in the troops. I want to tell you that this is not the first time that students have been attempted to be silenced by the army and by the state troops. In the 60s, in the civil rights, in the 70s for Vietnam, in the 80s when students were protesting against the apartheid regime of South Africa, hundreds and thousands of students would march against their own governments, our own government. and the government was too scared to address the issues head on. And so they replied with the only weapon they understood, and that is the weapon of power and violence. And they chose violence over dialogue. You are not the first batch of students that is being intimidated by state troopers. Why would state troopers be called in to quell peaceful protesters that are students? Why are you going to call the National Guard? Why are you going to call the army against your own students? This is a matter of insanity that needs to be pointed out. It is high time that not just us Muslims, but anybody of sound integrity and sound intelligence asks these hard pressing questions. Why is it that our government is not even allowing freedom of speech and wanting to criminalize discussion of aid to Israel? Why is it that they're passing laws, and this is one of their tactics, equating criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism? And this is something we need to be very firm and loud about. O Muslims and people of all faiths, we shall not and we cannot tolerate hatred and preaching hatred of another faith tradition. And we will not tolerate anti-Semitism. Anybody comes and says, all people of that background, all Buddhists, all Hindus, all Jews, all Christians, we will stop them and not allow them to march with us. We will not allow voices of anti-Semitism or voices of Islamophobia to be given a platform. However, we will also not be intimidated when criticism of a country is falsely accused of being anti-Semitic. There is nothing anti-Semitic about criticizing policies of a nation state. Just like we as Muslims can criticize aspects of the Taliban, aspects of the Middle Eastern tyrannical regimes, and we are not being Islamophobic. We're pointing out injustices in Muslim lands. There is no Islamophobia in that. So too, people of all faith backgrounds, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Jewish people, Christians, people of no faith, they can point out the problems of the nation state of Israel, which is an apartheid, colonialist, elitist, racist nation state. They can point out those policies and point out the illegal and immoral aspects of them and not be labeled anti-Semitic. This is a tactic that is being used to silence your voices, and you must push back. And the way you push back is you own up and you say, you're right, we are not going to tolerate anti-Semitism. And if you find anybody that has a placard, that has anything that is speaking out against an entire faith, make sure that person has nothing to do with your cause and your protest. We agree with you. We don't want Islamophobia and we don't want anti-Semitism. But where we disagree is the definition of anti-Semitism. What you have done, what the bill yesterday that was passed in Congress has done, and all Muslims and all Americans, you should be very, very worried about how easily that bill was passed. It equated criticism of a country with anti-Semitism. That bill is absolutely unconstitutional. It is infringing on our First Amendment rights to criticize without fear of infraction, fear of imprisonment, fear of any type of repercussions. And yet, our own Congress has been at the forefront. It is high time we ask, why? Why? It is as if some people are more interested in protecting another nation than their own. They're interested in protecting an apartheid regime over and above our own country of America. We are actually calling for, believe it or not, in this case, America first. Yes, wallahi, we are calling for America first. Why should our tax dollars be spent in the Middle East? Don't we have enough problems in this country? Don't we have so many homeless people? Our healthcare is in shambles. Our education is in the bottom 100 of the developed nations. Why are we spending $100 billion overseas? Surely we have better things to do with our taxes. O Muslims, it is our duty, especially, and people of all faith who understand this, to become beacons of common sense, to become people who preach wisdom to the broader masses. And I say to you loudly and clearly, the tide is changing. We have never seen the mass protests taking place around the country, frankly, around the globe. The plight of the Palestinian people is now a global issue. The average person is being made aware, and they're being made aware because of these types of protests. and these types of public affairs that we are doing. Of the tactics they use, and this is a very sensitive issue, but it needs to be said. Of the tactics they use to silence our voices is they bring up atrocities and tactics and political movements from amongst the Palestinian people. And they say, oh look, they did this. I say very, very explicitly, our protests are not about one particular day and what happened on that day. They're not about one particular political party or one particular group and any tactics they might have used. There is an entire variety of opinions about that day and the group behind that day. But the protests are above and beyond that one day. History didn't start on October 7th. The Palestinian plight did not begin from that one day. The Palestinian people are far bigger and larger than any one particular party. Whatever your opinion is about that party, whatever your position is about that day, our protests have to do with calling for freedom for Palestinian people. Our protests have to do against the apartheid regime of that country. Our protests are to bring awareness to 2 million refugees, 2 million people that have been locked up behind walls that are 50 foot high. They've been locked up not for 1 year, not for 20 years, for 75 years. Three generations of Palestinians have been exiled from their lands. That's what our protest is about. Don't let anybody come and change the narrative and pretend that history began on one particular day. Ask them bluntly, where did these 2 million people come from in Gaza? Where are they from? Why are they there? What is the reality of their existence there? I have been to that land. I have been there half a dozen times. I have seen with my own eyes that 50-foot wall in which even I, as an American citizen, am not allowed to go and visit our brothers and sisters on the other side. I have seen with video footage the slums they live in. I have seen how Palestinian refugees are living in ghettos and how people that have immigrated from Brooklyn, immigrated from Russia, immigrated from Europe, they're living the life as if it's in California. It is very crystal clear. One side is an occupier and one side is the occupied. One side is the oppressor and one side is the oppressed. One side is a colonizer and one side is the colonized. This is crystal clear. And I have a message for all those who think that this entire tragedy is very confusing and it goes back many centuries. Nothing could be further from the truth. The reality of Palestine, the reality of Gaza, the reality of Israel as a nation state, it only requires a cursory 5-10 minutes of research. Listen to the basic lectures from the other side. Read the most obvious books that have been written, and you will see it is as clear as the light of day. And that is that Israel is the last remaining colonialist apartheid regime. And they're using the language of falsehood, the language of pseudo-biblical Zionism to appeal to Americans. And I say to my fellow Americans, Jesus Christ is far closer to a Palestinian than he is to the occupying force in Israel. Jesus Christ was born in what is now Palestinian land. He lived his life more akin, his morality, his ethnicity, the way that he spoke and dressed. He is Palestinian essentially. And so I say to my Christian brethren from the broader community, do your research and listen to what the pastor of Bethlehem himself gave that sermon last Christmas. And he gave a very powerful sermon entitled Christ Under the Rubbles. Go listen to that sermon. And we call Christians to the real teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus never stood with the oppressor against the oppressed. Jesus always stood with the oppressed against the oppressor. He stood up against tyranny and injustice. And we say your version of political biblical Zionism is a perversion of your theology. This is not real theology. God will never bless a nation that is massacring another nation. God will never bless a nation that is involved in genocide against another nation. Nothing godly is happening over there. So we appeal to the broader community to do its research. Oh Muslims, do not falter, do not give up. We are seeing an entire change of trajectory, and we are leading that change in trajectory. So we are with you. I am with you. All of us are with you. And most importantly, when you stand up for truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran. And may He make us of those who, as verses they understand, and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask Him, for He is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah, the one and the unique. He it is whom we worship, and it is His aid that we seek. He is the Lord of the oppressed, and He hears the prayer of the weak. O people of all faiths, when you see what is happening right now, there are aspects that make us feel intimidated. An element of fear comes. But there's also aspects that give us hope, that bring optimism. And I say, we are living in a critical stage of history. Many times we ask ourselves, what would I have done during the civil rights? What would I have done during that issue, during this issue? What would I have done when a very major calamity is taking place globally and my own nation and country is involved? Well, you no longer have to ask theoretical questions. We are doing what is ethically right. We are on the correct side of morality. And even if our small protests over here are not fruitful, we are seeing protests across the country. And eventually, the tide will change. Why do I say this and how do I know this? Because as a person of faith, as a believer in God, as a believer in the justice of our Lord, I say loudly and clearly that our Lord never allows tyranny to go unanswered. Our Lord never allows injustice to flourish. Our Lord never allows aggression to go unchecked. And so we are seeing now the conscience of the people has woken up. The conscience of humanity has woken up. It is our time to be at the forefront of every one of these protests, to be at the forefront of attempting to change from within the system. And yes, it is true that some people are doing things that are against the law. And I say, in my opinion, we should not do this. We should not bring irritation and nuisance to those that have nothing to do with this conflict. But protesting is within the confines of the law. And attempting to persuade others is exactly what civic duty calls for. So yes, be at the forefront within the confines of the law, doing what we're allowed to do. Bring attention to what is happening. Try to persuade others. And in order to do that, you yourself have to know what is going on. So I encourage all of you to educate yourselves. I encourage all of you to read a number of books, watch a number of documentaries, so that you're aware of this reality, so that you cannot be misinformed when somebody attempts to argue with you with incorrect facts. Know your religion, know your history, and then be involved. And also know that this is a battle in the long run. I have said multiple times, there are two battles being waged. There is a battle that is physical in the Middle East. We are not over there. There's another battle, and that is a battle of the hearts and minds, a battle of perception, a battle of social media, a battle of tongues, a battle of op-eds, a battle of the pen. There's a battle of persuasion going on. That battle, it needs to take place in our land. We are the forefront of affecting change in that region. If the American public is to be made aware of what is going on, I say to you, the average person in this country would side with truth and justice. So it is our job to preach and teach. It is our job to influence. And anybody from outside who comes and attempts to criminalize what we are doing, attempts to paint it in a negative light. If you see what is happening when Jumu'ahs are taking place across campus, the far right is posting pictures. Oh, look, the Muslims are coming and they're praying on campus. It is as if we, immigrants and the children of immigrants, I speak as myself, my father came here in the 60s. It is as if we, the children of immigrants, have to remind other children of immigrants about the reality of this constitution. Our constitution guarantees the right of assembly, guarantees the right of worship, guarantees the right of freedom of speech. How ironic that those who think the country belongs to them, even though they themselves are the children of immigrants. How ironic that we have to remind them of their own history and our own history. So I say one of my messages to all of you here, O Muslims, if you've migrated to this land and taken on nationality, if your ancestors came like my parents came here and you're American citizen, don't let anybody ever silence your voice and say, go back to where you came from. Don't let anybody say to you that you don't have the right to preach and to teach and to effect change. This is America, and we are all Americans. It is my God-given right and my constitutional duty to speak the truth. It is my right as an American citizen to effect change in a civic and a lawful manner. And that's exactly what we are doing. If anybody dares intimidate you, if anybody dares silence you, then you need to be firm in this commitment. Do not let them rob you of your American identity, as you will not let them rob you of your Islamic identity. We are proud to be Muslims, and we're proud of this country when it is on the right side. And when it is on the wrong side, we still love this country. And because we love this country, we want to influence it in a positive manner. And that is my right, as is the right of any other person. We, as American Muslims and as Americans of all faiths who are standing on the side of Palestine, on the side of Gaza, we have just as much rights to try to influence our foreign policy as everybody else does. There's nothing unpatriotic about it. On the contrary, this is the essence of patriotism. This is exactly what it means to be patriotic. Because this is my country, because these are my taxes, because this is my foreign policy, because that government is my government, then it is my civic duty to try to influence it within the legal mechanisms. And that's exactly what we're doing here. So, O Muslim, be proud of what Allah has blessed you with. O Americans, be proud of what God has blessed us with in this country. Combine the two together and make it your civic right, your religious right, and your moral right to march on the correct side of history as you are doing right here and now. O Muslims and people of all faiths, we might not see victory tomorrow. We might not even see it this year. We maybe not even see it in a decade. But we shall see victory without a doubt, because falsehood never flourishes. Allah says in the Quran, جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. When the truth comes, it shall always vanquish over falsehood. Falsehood will never be allowed to flourish. The batil will always be destroyed. And the last remaining colonialist settler apartheid regime, that regime cannot flourish the way that it is treating those innocent peoples of Gaza. So without a doubt, the apartheid nature of that nation state is going to be taken away. And justice is going to be established. And that's what we're here to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every one of you. May God bless this country to be on the right side of history. May Allah give you all strength to preach and to teach and to face all of that criticism happening. And may we have the moral courage to always speak the truth, no matter what. I conclude with a reminder of our beloved Prophet when he said to us, Afdalul Jihad, the highest form of jihad, and yes, I've used that word here because jihad isn't always negative and physical and terrorist. No, there are types of jihad. And of the types of jihad, our Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the best jihad is to speak truth to power. That jihad is a legitimate, legal, constitutionally protected jihad. And that's what we're doing here. We are preaching truth to power. We're preaching truth in a very, very, in a time and place where it is politically incorrect to do so. So preach that version and make sure you are with the truth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. Allahumma inni da'in fa aminu. Allahumma la tan'a fi hadhi yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wala hamman illa farajta, wala daynan illa qadayta, wala madinan illa shafayta, wala asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma aghfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman, wala taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lil ladina amanu, rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. Allahumma a'iz al islam wal muslimin, allahumma ansur ikhwanana fi gaza, allahumma ansur ikhwanana fi gaza, allahumma ansur ikhwanana fi gaza, wa anta arhamur rahimin. Ibadallah, inna allah ta'ala amarakum bi amri bada bihi bi nafsi wa thanna bi malaikati qudusi wa thallata bikum ayyuhal mununa min jinnihi wa insi, faqala azza min qalin alima, inna الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك رسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر، وأقم الصلاة.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا ربي. رب